Greetings to you all, dear brethren around the world. In the name of our Almighty God and our returned and reigning King, Lord Jesus Christ, I bring you love and greetings from all the brethren from India. I thank our Lord for giving me the opportunity to serve his flock and also the brethren for giving me an opportunity to serve his brethren. Peace be unto you all. But if you see today in the world, there is no peace. No peace at all, but only war, destruction, conflict, and bloodshed. Is this peace? Today's main headlines in the world news is what? It's war between Iran and America. On February 28, 2026, Iran was suddenly attacked and all its leaders at one time were bombed. How much commotion it created in this world? One event in the world and suddenly the world changed. Crude prices went skyrocketing. Struggle for the ordinary people. Cooking gases was in short supply. And a supply of auto gas was hit. And their daily bread was broken. Many working abroad lost their jobs because of fear of what things were coming upon the world. Hence, where is peace? There is no peace in the world at all. Everyone's prayer was that it would be good if God would somehow stop this war. Today, we will see what the Bible tells about this event. And I would like to present this as a suggestion for all the saints to ponder upon. It is good for us to give heed to the Bible prophecy at this moment. Because the Bible tells in 2 Peter 1:19, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in the dark place until the day dawn. And the day star arise in your hearts. Today, through Bible prophecy, let us see what is happening in this world and correlate this with the scriptures and see what the prophecies tell. Because prophecy is a more sure word and like a light that shineth in the dark place until the day dawn. For the world, all these events are very dark. They can't recognize what is going on the other side of the veil. Who is doing all these things? For them, it is like distress of nations on this earth. Men's hearts are failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Luke 21st chapter verses 25 to 26. Fear of what is going to happen to their jobs. Fear of what is going to happen to their business. Fear about their future. It is totally dark. But for God's children, on this side of the veil, it is a fulfillment of his prophecy. Does the Bible speak about Iran? Yes, the Bible speaks about Iran. Let us see. Iran was not so prominent until US attacked it and made it a talk of the town. Today we will see what the Bible says about Iran's past, present, and the future. In the Bible, it is called as Elam. Now, who is Elam? Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Elam was the son of Shem. Genesis 10 chapter, verses 21 and 22. About them, it is first mentioned in Genesis 14 chapter, verse 8 and 9, where Abraham, while trying to rescue his nephew Lot, went to war over Elam and rescued Lot. These, during the days of Nebuchadnezzar, were scattered all over. Ezra 4 chapter verse 9 and 10. We see in the book of Esther that Susan was its capital and the palace was in Susan. Esther 1st chapter 2nd verse. It was in Susan that Daniel was put in the lion's den. Daniel 6th chapter 12th verse. In Daniel 8th chapter, Daniel sees a vision of the ram and the he-goat, where the ram had two horns and one horn was higher than the other, which represents the Medo-Persian Empire. The Persian horn being more powerful than the Medes. A he-goat which came with full power and destroyed the ram represents the Greek Empire. Even in Daniel 2nd chapter and 7th chapter, we see the second universal empire which ruled the whole world with the Median Persian Empire. Thus we see that the Medes joined hands with the Persians to be the Medo-Persian Empire, which includes the Elamites. When did they get this name, Iran? It was in 1935. Till then, it was called as Elam or Susan. Now, what are the characters about them? What does the Bible say about it? The first point about the character is about their laws and rules. They did not change the laws once they were implemented. Not even by the king could it be changed. Hence we read in Daniel 6:12 that when King Darius tried to rescue Daniel, he says, "The thing is true according to the law of Medes and the Persians, which alter not." Though the rules were done by the king, they could not be changed or violated once they were implemented. Another incident is in the book of Esther. King Ahasuerus could not cancel the law. That was a decree by Haman, and Mordecai had to make a new decree to save the Jews from being slaughtered. The second thing is that they were very stubborn people. Babylon was a well-fortified city whose walls were 300 feet high, 100 feet wide, and it had 100 gates, 25 on each side. All were made out of solid brass. It had 250 watchtowers, which were on continuous guard, making it an impossible city to take over. But yet, after many years of siege, the Medo-Persians captured and destroyed it. Though it was very difficult to capture, they never went back, but pushed until their aim was accomplished. Hence, in Daniel 7 chapter, it is compared to a bear. The quality of a bear is that it once decides to attack its enemy, it never leaves. If they climb a mountain or a tree, it will also climb. If they jump in a river, it will also follow. The only way to escape is to lie down dead. The bear, seeing the dead, will walk away simply. Similarly, it was with the Medo-Persians. Once they decided to capture the nation, they would never leave until the enemy surrendered them. The third point is that they were very egoistic and short-tempered. When king called Vasti, she denied coming before everybody because of her ego. And the king, hearing this, instead of examining the situation, readily divorced her as his anger burned in him. Esther, first chapter, verse 12 and verses 17 to 19. Next point, the fourth point is, they are beauty-loving people. The first Miss Universe contest was conducted in the kingdom. Hence, even today, the Iranians are fair and beautiful. The fifth point is that they are lovers of luxury and pleasure. King Ahasuerus had a fair for 6 months. When these days had expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Bhushan, the palace, both great and small, for 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where there were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple, to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a payment of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drinks in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, the royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. Esther, first chapter, verses 5 to 7. And the sixth character is, apart from all this, they were God-fearing people. They feared God of the Jews. We see Cyrus gave the degree to rebuild the temple, gave all the supplies and set the Jews free. 2 Chronicles 36 chapter verse 22 and 23. Because he came to know the meaning of mene, mene, tekel, uparsin, and understood that without God's will, he could never conquer Babylon. And hence, to honor the God of Israel, he rebuilt the temple. Next, when Daniel was put in the lion's den, King Darius told Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." When this came to pass, the king was exceedingly glad that God saved Daniel, and the king made a decree that in every dominion of his kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall even unto the end. Daniel 6th chapter verses 16 to 26. They never went to war with the Jews, but respected them. Then why now this hatred to the Jews? To understand this, we need to look into the history of oil. Before crude oil was invented, the situation of the world was totally different. To burn lamps, people used to use different types of oil, and this was not easily available. Hence, people used to avoid traveling after sunset. And there was no such great demand for oil. They used dry salmon and petrels and used them like torches to walk in the night. But in 1700 AD, whale oil was obtained and extracted from the whales. This oil was used in the lamps. It was a bit expensive and used to give a pungent smell. But yet, for a while, this business flourished. In 1846, Abraham Gessner invented the formula for kerosene. And thus, for the first time, refineries was formed. And it was much cheaper and gave less smell and smoke compared to the whale oil. Everyone began to switch to kerosene. These were also used as street lights, for lanterns, and gave opportunity for the people to walk even in the dark. And demand increased. As demand increased, people began to explore this field. Thus, one Mr. Edwin Drake discovered the first crude oil well in Pennsylvania in 1858. He got crude oil at just 100 feet and started the Pennsylvania Rock Oil Company. They extracted crude, and in turn petroleum was transported through barrels, bamboo pipes. As there was a slow invention of engine-based machinery, slowly demand for the oil spread over all the world. And in many places, a search for oil began. So in 1908, Mr. Reynolds, an English mining engineer, found crude oil well in Iran after 7 continuous years of struggle. At just 1,080 feet, they got oil. Wherever they dug, they got oil. But due to shortage of funds, they had to stop the work. But later, the British government invested in and formed the Anglo-Persian Company, which used this oil for British military and made huge profits. The majority of the profits went to the British because they were the major stakeholders. This began to prick the eyes of the Iranians who stood against the British, and there the slow conflict started. In 1933, they made a deal with Iran that certain portion of profit would be given to Iran, but only on a condition that Iran would lease their wells to the British Petroleum Company for 60 years. But in 1951, Iran took over all these wells and the British were torn out. Simultaneously, there began to discover wells in neighboring countries, Arab countries. 1938, they found a massive oil well in Saudi Arabia by Radisson American Company. Till then, Saudis were a very poor country. The only crop they grew was dates. But wherever they drill, they got oil. Oil began to pour. They began to supply it through pipelines to other places. In 1944, all responsibility was given to Aramco, and the Saudis became rich in no time. Cars, buildings began to rise in Saudi, Dubai, etc. The US had invested in these wells and made a deal with Saudis that US would give them technology, infrastructure, skyscraper, luxury cars, Western culture, military security, but only upon a condition that they trade crude oil only in dollar, and only with whom US permits. Why? Why does it have to trade only in dollar? Because the whole world regulates its currency based on gold reserve. The US needed more dollar to meet its expenses, especially during the Vietnam War. The US could have just printed as many dollars as they wanted, but that would make them like today's Venezuela. They had to retain the dollar value in the world market and yet generate more dollars. And this, they found that they could achieve it by generating more dollar through the crude market. When in need of crude oil, they had to trade in dollars, and this increased the demand for dollars. And many Exim banks began to keep surplus dollars in reserve. Thus, the value of the dollar increased in the world market. and the dollar and US began to control the whole world economy. Anyone who did not obey these terms and conditions, sanctions were imposed on them, and they were barred from international trading and forced to lose their economy and thus agree to the US terms and conditions. As the world began to develop, automobile industry flourished. There was a great demand for motor vehicles, be it car, truck, buses, as everyone found it a good means of transportation, much faster, much cheaper. Thus, there began an increased demand for crude oil and a competition in the market. And there was instability in the crude market. To avoid all these things, the crude manufacturers came together and formed an organization called as OPEC in 1960, under which came Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Iran, and Iraq. OPEC regulated the petrol prices, the crude prices in the world, to whom oil should be supplied and what price, and controlled the oil market. All this went on well for a quiet time till 1973. Dear brethren, you all remember, you see, in 1973, a crisis came during the Yom Kippur War between Syria, Egypt, Israel. Japan and America began to support Israel. The Arabs, who were against this, opposed the US support to Israel and stopped crude export, which caused a great crisis in the world. In just a few weeks, oil prices began to rise from $3 per barrel to $12 per barrel. This was a very tough situation to the world to handle. Even India was affected. Then, during the Iranian Revolution in 1979, again the crude prices increased. Dear brethren, again it increased to $32 per barrel during the Iran and Iraq war. Dear brethren, so hence we see how this crude prices began to skyrocket in the world. And it was only in 2020 COVID crisis that the oil prices went negative to less than a dollar. When the whole world was under lockdown and all the means of transportation came to a standstill. Dear brethren, I hope you all understand when this problem came and what the problem is and because of whom. There was no issue with any of the Arab nations until Israel got independence and a nation was formed. So it all started with Israel. Many of the Arab countries knew this. Hence, in 2020, Iraq tried to sell oil in euros. What happened? They were blamed for having chemical and biological weapons and attacked, but didn't even find one such weapon. In 2011, Libya tried to sell oil for gold, but Gaddafi was cooped and killed by his own people. In 2020, Iran tried to sell oil in Chinese yuan, but was blamed for enriching a secret nuclear weapon. Iran's Saddam, Libya's Gaddafi, Cuba's Fidel Castro, Africa's Nelson Mandela, Venezuela's Morocco were all against doing oil business in dollar. Every time the dollar is threatened, the US starts to terribly trouble these governments and start wars, or else the US economy will collapse overnight. Hence, Saddam once said, if you want to control the world, control its crude oil. Do you know, dear brethren, who is the biggest oil producer in this world? It is not Iran or the Saudis. Dear brethren, it is the United States of America. The biggest producer of oil in the world per day. The US is not at all dependent on Arab for oil. Regarding this, Donald Trump made a clear statement that US doesn't want their oil. Okay then, now why are they attacking Iran? The US knew this, that the higher the oil prices, higher the dollar value would be. Higher the oil prices in the market, greater the selling price and more the profit. And someone's loss and someone's demand are others' profit. It is like example, it is like investing in the stocks and share market to make profit. There are two ways to do this. One is buying the share when the prices are low and sell it when the share value increases and thus make profit. But the other way is to buy the shares at a market price and increase the market value of that share. How do you increase it? By increasing the demand. When the demand increases, the price automatically increases. When the price increases and the selling price you get, you see, that also increases and make as much profit by selling the shares. This is what the US is trying to do, playing a dirty game of politics, blackmail, power, and disturbing the market. Hence, Iran, who is now supplying oil to all the countries that pay only in Chinese yuan, they are already doing it, thus showing to the world the dollar is not important and blocking the Strait of Hormuz on 18th March 2026. Now, what is the Strait of Hormuz? Why is it so important? Why is it so tough? Dear brethren, the word strait is mentioned in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, which actually means a very narrow or a difficult one. So, how and why is this Strait of Hormuz a narrow passage? This passage is just as narrow as 33 kilometers. Then why fight? Just go as far as possible from Iran and pass. But no, the safe passage to travel is just 3 kilometers wide. 1 kilometer is reserved for going. 1 kilometer is reserved for coming, and 1 kilometer is a buffer zone. You know, dear brethren, all the VLCC, very large crude container, have to travel only in these lanes, just like car travels in express highway. They can't change lanes. The reason is that the waters here are very shallow. At a depth of just 150 to 300 feet maximum, dear brethren. Let me explain to you. The world's largest crude container is approximately 1,100 feet in length and 200 feet in breadth. It has a height of up to 205 feet with 75 feet immersed below the water and 130 feet above the water. With just 75 feet margin to reach its seabed. So the ships have to pass only at this point and no other. And that too, one after the other. These very large crude containers cost a huge amount. Almost $130 million. And the loss of even one such VLC is a very devastating blow to the company. So if it is so tough to travel this way, why don't you choose any other way? Why? Are there no other ways? No. Because all the crude refineries in the Middle East are from Kuwait, Iraq, Saudi, బారెయిన్, ఖతార్, యుఏఈ, ఒమాన్, ఇరాన్. అండ్ ఎవ్రీ క్రూడ్ షిప్ సప్లై హాస్ టు పాస్ త్రూ దిస్ పాయింట్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్. దెర్ ఇస్ నో అదర్ చాయిస్. 50% ఆఫ్ ద వరల్డ్స్ ఆయిల్ ప్రొడ్యూస్డ్ పాసెస్ త్రూ దిస్ వన్ ప్యాసేజ్. పర్ డే మోర్ దెన్ 200 మిలియన్ బ్యారల్స్ ఆన్ యావరేజ్. అండ్ వన్ VLCC క్యారీస్ మోర్ దెన్ 2 మిలియన్ బ్యారల్స్ పర్ డే. అండ్ దస్ థౌజండ్స్ ఆఫ్ షిప్స్ మూవ్ ఇయర్ ఎవ్రీ డే. టుడే ఆల్ దిస్ ఆర్ స్టాండర్డ్ ఇయర్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ వార్. సిన్స్ ద వార్ ద ఇన్సూరెన్స్ కంపెనీ హవ్ బీన్ ఫైండింగ్ ఇట్ వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ టు ఇన్షూర్ దిస్ క్రూడ్ వెజల్స్. ఇరాన్ హ్యాస్ కంప్లీట్లీ టేకన్ కంట్రోల్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ చోకింగ్ పాయింట్. None are allowed to pass without their permission. And to avoid any escape, they have placed water mines all over the state. Dear brethren, one water mine would just cost a mere $1,500. But what is the cost of the VLCC? And the oil spilled by such destruction from this VLCC could be enormous. It could create ecological harm and destroy marine life. They have Scud missiles ready to attack from their mountainous terrain. In addition to this, the Iranian military have got their speedboats, submarines, always ready to attack these crude containers. Hence, none of the VLCC companies are taking bold step to cross the Strait of Hormuz. Even the world's largest weapon carrier, you all know very well, that is none other than Abraham Lincoln, you see, is not able to enter the Strait of Hormuz. Why? Because of these reasons. Dear brethren, hence we see in the world market, day by day, the stocks are crashing, crude prices are increasing. 85% of the world's polythene, raw material for plastic and PET bottles and phone cases. 35% of the world's fertilizer, many raw materials for medicine, tar. 25% of the helium used to cool the microchip processors. And many other important products, everything stuck in the Strait of Hormuz. Iran knew this. They knew it very clearly that this Strait of Hormuz was the bottleneck of the whole world. Hence, they squeezed it so that none should pass without their permission. Hence, we see none of the NATO allies supported America in this attack. Dear brethren, by analyzing the above, it is clear that Iran is quite rich in economy. But still, why is it drilling under an economical crisis? Until 1979, Iran was a self-sustained nation. They had their own universities with co-education. Women had full freedom to do whatever they wanted. They could participate in sports, wear Western clothes, go to the club, move freely in the society. Even they used to use as a traffic controllers. They could study science, nursing, doctoring, and stand in par with men. They had their own factories, reliance industries, etc. But the Orthodox Shiites opposed this. They believed that woman should not come out of the house and are to be always covered with burqas. These revolts against the king and a great revolution happened and forced the king to flee the country. Using this as an opportunity, Khamenei, a Shia religious leader who was in exile in Iraq, returned to Iran, took over and formed a Shia government. The first rule under this was that women were not free to move out and they had to compulsorily wear hijab. And still many other rules were brought in. To control these people, he formed the IRGC force and all the funds were diverted towards the development of army and building underground missile city. These missile cities are built many kilometers below the mountainous terrain region. They even where the even best bunker busters are not able to penetrate. These are so used that all the fire jets can maneuver, take off and land. Piles and piles of Scud missiles, launchers are stored here. They have the modern facility to control the entire army underground with barracks for his soldiers and complete medical facility with 24/7 generators directly fueled from the refinery. The Gaza tunnel system that Hamas had built was small, but what Iran has built, it is for the entire army to stay underground. Hence, Iran has given a clear statement to US not to search for these missile cities, which they can never find out. Thus, all these funds are drained for these projects. Added to these are the government mismanagement, sanctions, inflation. Thus, the fourth largest oil producer in the world is still in poverty today. The world's 60% Iran's 60% of the population are under 30 years of age. World's largest, youngest population who were addicted to social media, an increase in knowledge called as the Gen Z population. The sudden ban on social media and blocking of this internet and government controlling their clothing, their freedom turned crazy. Like a Gen Z in Nepal, and they revolted against that nation. Hence, this course of investment in changing the course of the world is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. See, Joel 3rd chapter verses 9 and 10. Proclaim you this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. We have seen the same type of verse in Isaiah 2 and 4. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and the spears into pruning hooks. The nation shall not lift a sword against a nation, neither shall they learn war anymore, but only the other way around. When God's kingdom is visibly established on earth, all the investment that has been made today for arms and ammunition will be diverted to agriculture. But today, we see Joel 3rd chapter 9 and 10 being fulfilled before our eyes, where Iran and other nations don't even have proper food to eat, are investing large sums in arms and ammunition. In this war, US has destroyed the majority of the Iran's radar and military system. But even then, the US is not able to attack them boldly. The decision taken to attack Iran is condemned by the whole world and shows that it was a foolish decision by Trump. Why? because this is a humbling experience for the United States. See what the prophecy tells about United States. Isaiah 18 chapter verse 1 and 2. Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that sent ambassadors by the sea, even in the vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, go you, swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrified from the beginning. Hitherto a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. What is the meaning of this word woo? Even as Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees in 23rd chapter of Matthew, woo, as per Strong's concordance, means a primary exclamation of grief. And dictionary tells that it is an expression of deep sorrow, grief, or impending judgment. What does this land beyond the rivers of Ethiopia mean? Ethiopia means modern day Africa. And the river beyond Africa, as we can clearly see in the world map, is the Atlantic Ocean. And the land beyond the Atlantic Ocean is the United States. This verse says that it is called the land shadowing with wings. Has US got something to do with the wings? Yes. The national bird of United States is a bald eagle. And shadowing with wings means the security in which Americans live. So woo unto the US means that very shortly there is going to be some crisis and a great trouble for United States. Read one more prophecy about the United States in Amos 6 chapter verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountains of Samaria, which are called the chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel come. Now, who is this chief of the nations? To whom house of Israel come? It is none other than the United Nations, which are the chief of all the nations of the world, to whom the world looks in a time of crisis. It is from US that Israel seeks help and support. Hence, we see that when the US attacked Iran, it was a joint operation with Israel. This prophecy says, woo, meaning trouble. US has spent trillions of dollars in just a few days of war, which was all the tax money. And when funds were needed, they had to ask the Democrats for sanction more of budget. As the US began to feel that pinch, they were down for negotiation with Iran and announced a ceasefire. How? By lifting millions of dollars of financial sanctions upon Iran, by releasing millions of withheld amount. CIA today believes Iran will not stop developing nuclear weapons. You know, dear brethren, the very next day, Israel breached the ceasefire and attacked Lebanon, which has annoyed the United States. Hence, we see that God is thus creating a situation in the United States where United States will desolate Israel in the future. Hence, we can see Trump has warned Bibi to be better careful or you will be on your own. And Israel National Security Minister Ifamar Ben-Gvir was denied US visa and he had to cancel his trip at the last moment. Dear brethren, these are all the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Read Jeremiah 38 chapter verse 14. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude of thy iniquity, because thy sin were increased. These are all the fulfillment of a Bible prophecy as mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and about the third and the final world war. Ezekiel 38, 4 and 5. I will turn the back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring forth and all thy army, horses and all horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with buckler and shield, all of them handing swords, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Here, Persia is also mentioned, which is today's Iran. How do they gather for this war? It is not them, but God who is going to gather all these nations, not the Satan, not the devil. How is God going to gather them? It says, I will turn the back and put hooks to thy jaws and will bring forth. God will put hooks into their jaws and bring them. It is like bridling a horse without which it is difficult to control. Similarly, these nations will just be leading their normal lives. They will be driven, they will be drawn to war. God will create a situation wherein they will be pulled into war by some force. Though they actually don't want to go to war, but they will be pulled. This is what we see being fulfilled today. Iran was pulled into the war when they were suddenly attacked by the United States, who killed a leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, in his home. Russia has a 20-year partnership agreement with Iran on military and allied forces, hence it is in support of Iran and against the US in this war. While the same Russia is with war in Ukraine, just for silly reasons that they should not join NATO. Pakistan is at war with Afghanistan. China is with war with India on a border issue. Russia, Korea, China are all against United States sanctions. NATO is not allying with US, while Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Lebanon, Jordan all criticize Israel in the Gaza war. They're all supporting US with its military bases to attack Iran. Thus we see the world is mustering and hooks are being put into their jaws to draw to war by God. The US attacked Iran and called it epic fury. Is this in the Bible? Yes. See Jeremiah 49 chapter verses 35 to 39. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. Verse 35. In olden days, the Elamites were experts in archery. They could shoot long-range targets with their arrows. Persian chariots had swords fixed to the wheels. Those days, this is how they would reach long-range targets. While these days, it is the Scud, a medium-range ballistic missile, MRBMs, and strategic land attack cruise missiles, long-range cruise missiles. The first thing that US did was weaken their military by destroying these missile launching system. Within a week's time, the majority of the radar system was completely destroyed in Iran. Verse 36. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them towards all those winds. And there shall be no nation whither the outcast of Elam shall not come. When four winds blow at a time, a thunderstorm comes. The US used its military bases located all around Iran, in Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi, Oman, Dubai, etc., to attack Iran. The attack was from all the four quarters. This had an impact upon the social, religious, financial, and political elements of Iran. Now, verse 37. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. This evil that is called as God's fear, anger, fury, or epic fury, you see, in 11th April 2026 newspaper, it is given that 80% of Iran's air defense system were destroyed. Over 1,500 air defense targets were struck. 450 plus ballistic storage facilities were struck. 800 one-way attack drone storage facilities were struck. 90% of Iran's regular navy fleet was sunk. 50% of the Revolution Guard's small attack boats were sunk. 90% of the weapon factories were attacked, and 80% of the nuclear industrial bases were hit. Dear brethren, see also Jeremiah 25th chapter verses 15 to 18. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, unto me, take up the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. Verse 16, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Verse 25, and all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of Medes. God is causing the nations to drink this fury from his hands, the epic fury. And which nations are in the list? Elam, Persia, are also along with all of the other kings and ministers. And what will happen if they drink? They shall be moved and be mad. Hence we see the world leaders have gone mad, and the foolish decisions are a clear proof of it. They are least bothered as to how this will affect the poor society, but are much worried about their ego. Jeremiah 49:38. I'll set my throne in Elam. I'll destroy from thence the kings and the princes, saith the Lord. God will destroy his kings and princes. This was exactly fulfilled in February 28, 2020. Six attack when Israel and US jointly attacked Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei along with all his senior leaders directly in their house in Tehran and killed all of them at one spot along with their family members. Never has such thing happened in the world history that a leader along with his daughter, son-in-law, grandchildren, and senior officers were bombed at a time in their house. And God shall set his throne in Elam. What does this mean? Will God literally come and rule in Iran? No. It means that God will put his representative on the throne of Iran, who will help fulfill the incidents required to achieve God's plan, and who will fulfill God's will. See, as we read in 1 Chronicles 29:23, that Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father and passport. What does it mean? That Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord? It means that the affairs in Israel were monitored by God through Solomon. Hence, we see in Ezekiel 21st chapter, Verse 26 and 27, God tells to remove the diadem, take off the crown of the last king Zedekiah, and it shall be no more until he comes whose right it is. Jesus, the head and the body, and it will be given to him. In Romans 9 chapter verse 17, it tells, for the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared through all the earth. When Israel was delivered out of Egypt, God wanted a particular Pharaoh who would be very stubborn about letting the people of Israel go out of Egypt, so that God would have to bring 10 great plagues upon Egypt, and one plague would be much greater than the other. And thus, through these plagues, God's mighty hand may be revealed to the people, and they glorify God. If there had been any other Pharaoh apart from this one, he would have easily let the people of Israel go and would not know much about God. This wouldn't have increased their faith. Hence, God arranged it in such a way that the previous pharaohs would die and make way for this Pharaoh during Israel's deliverance. Similarly, when God says that he shall set his throne in Elam, that means that he will rule, he will overrule the situation such that he will set a ruler through whom God's will shall happen, through whom the final world war may happen. And who shall be, how shall God work it out? We don't know, but have to wait for the Lord to see. Verse 39. But it shall come to pass in the later days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. Finally, God shall even bless Elam, Iran, because God through his son has given a ransom for all, that none should perish but have eternal life. Dear brethren, we are living in the last days. We read in Ezekiel 38 that the World War III shall come. Ezekiel 38:8, verse 8. After many days shall God summon. This summoning would not happen in a day and will continue to the Third World War. But certain events will lead to the Third World War. Even the First and the Second World Wars didn't just start in a day. Many forces led to the war, and by the time they realized it, they were already in the war. Similarly, it will be in the Third World War. It will be a slow development, and many nations listed here going to war against each other and thus forming two parties of the war, where one group will be against the other, and these will converge and culminate in Israel. And we can see these situations are already gathering for it. The lessons for us is that the time is very short. We have to put all our efforts into making our calling election sure. For that, there is only one target. And Apostle Paul tells in Philippians 3rd chapter, verses 13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Even after many years in the Lord, Apostle Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended the crown. He wasn't sure of the crown, but he knew very well what to do to win the crown. And what was that? But this one thing I do. This was his sole goal in life and no other thing. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. What is this mark for the prize? Many think that the mark is the crown. No. The prize is the crown. And what is the mark for the prize? The 100 meter running race. The winner will get the crown prize kept for him, which is placed on the table nearby. So while running, what should he look and run? Not the prize that is on the table. If so, he will lose the prize and others will win. If he has to win, he has to see the finishing line, which is the mark, and try reaching it. And then automatically, crown becomes his. Similarly, if we need to win the crown, the divine nature, we should not always be looking at it, but try touching the finishing line, the mark, and that is Christ-likeness. If we touch it, automatically the crown, the divine nature is ours, and none can take that from our hand. So as we realize our day of deliverance is very near, let us look unto our author and finisher of faith. Run the race and bring glory to God. May the peace of God be with you all till we meet again. May the Lord add his blessings to the understanding of his holy words. I once again thank my Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this opportunity, and the brethren for giving me this opportunity to serve his flock. I also thank the translator brethren for translating the Lord's words in other languages. If anyone has any questions, you can WhatsApp to me on the number. I'll be attaching the notes on the chat. God bless you all till we meet again. Thank you.
Brother Miro, please make me co-host again. My other account. Sorry, brethren, for that. I got kicked out, but I was able to listen on the mobile phone. So, Brother Raju, thank you so very much. That was most interesting. Many details, a lot of history connected to the Bible that I'm sure we did not know. I did not know many things. And so we appreciate that. Concerning the future, well, we don't know the details, but we do know the glorious outcome that you brought to our attention. So now we are going to close this session, this part of the meeting, with a hymn. And then after the hymn, Brother Raju will ask you to offer prayer. And after that, we will have a short period for questions and answers. So let me try to recover what I lost. Two eighty-nine. Of paradise. Brother Raju.
Okay. Let us bow down our heads in a word of prayer. Our most gracious, precious, Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for all thy wonderful mercy, wonderful grace, wonderful, precious promises which thou hast given us, which help us daily to walk ahead in the narrow walk of life. Heavenly Father, we thank you especially for giving us the robe of righteousness, through which we have access to the throne of grace and mercy to seek help in a time of need. Heavenly Father, even as we realize that we are living in the very last moment, help us to cleanse ourselves all the filthiness of the flesh. Help us to be pure in our heart. Help us to make our calling election sure. Heavenly Father, help us to develop that Christ likeness. We thank you for the wonderful trials and the various trials which thou hast given us, which are necessary for our development of character. Help us to keep all these things in our mind and to make necessary changes in our life. We especially thank you for the wonderful prophecies which thou hast given in thy scriptures, which enlighten our eyes of understanding so that we may see clearly at what moment we are living. Help us, Lord Heavenly Father, that we may be awake in these days and walk worthy of our heavenly calling. We especially at this time remember the various brethren who are undergoing through various trials and various experiences. Heavenly Father, we pray that thy grace may be upon them, that thou may help them to sustain and bear all these things and make their calling election sure. We especially thank you for giving these wonderful brethren who are able to organize these online meetings, through which we may be able to edify the other brethren and encourage one another. Even as we are departing, let thy grace be upon each and every brothers and sisters. We pray all these things in one and only matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you again. Well, Brother Raju, it's almost midnight, I think, where you live. And so we won't keep you very long, but we did promise the brethren that we would have a little time for some questions and answers. We're waiting for Brother Miro to enable everyone to be able to turn on their microphone. But before you do that, brethren, we would ask you if you have a question to raise your hand, and we'll call on you in order. And we'll ask you, and I need to remind myself, to speak slowly, because this part of the meeting is not known ahead of time by the translators. So speak slowly and stop after each phrase or sentence. And our first hand is from Brother Miro, and he's speaking Romanian, and I'm assuming that he will have translation into English. Over to you, Brother Miro, Brother Ferry.
Da, mulțumesc. Mulțumim Domnului pentru lecția prezentată. Eu, de la începutul lecției, am o întrebare.
From the beginning of the lesson, I have a question. If the Medes and Persians are from the same tribe or seed, and if they can identify themselves, which of them are Medes, who are Persians? Thank you.
Okay, may I answer your question, brother? Can I start answering?
You will answer the questions, Brother Raju.
Yes, you can start.
Okay, thank you, brother. Brother Ferry, thank you for your question. We see in the book of Ezra that this Elam were a group of people. They were not particularly the Persians or the Medians. Okay, so they were scattered during those days. But when they were regathered, They mixed with the Medians and the Persians, who actually attacked the Babylonians and established the kingdom in that particular place. So when we say about Elamites, when we speak about particularly about Medians or Persians, we don't speak about a particular class of people. It is that group of people who are located, who are staying in that particular place. And we see that this Elamites had completely mixed up with this group of the Medians and the Persians. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next hand is from Sister Elena Rusu. Over to you, Sister Elena, and after that, Brother Raju will respond.
Pace, fraților.
May the peace be with you. We thank you for the lesson.
Ceva special pentru frații din India, pentru profunzimea lor, studiul.
It was very profound.
Față de adevăruri.
And I appreciate very much that profoundness. My question is, seeing how fast things advance, and especially regarding the final of the lesson about this final battle, it seems like there will not be a little peace which we wait for in Israel. Even though something that Israel already had this short period of peace. Is it possible that Israel will have a short peace as it's written in that prophecy? Thank you. And please talk a bit slower, Brother Raju. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sister. Thank you, Sister Elena. That's a good question. What we can expect from the Bible prophecies is that the Bible clearly tells in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3. I'll read it for you. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So the current situation of peace, what we can see today, because of the temporary understanding between America and Iran, it will be only for a temporary period. Within few days, again, this war will ignite. And again, this peace will definitely get cancelled. So, we can expect some part of the peace to happen, but not in a larger scale. It will happen, but as it happens immediately, we can expect some trouble to come. In fact, even as I'm speaking, we saw in our news in India that already Israel is striking Lebanon, and the Americans are already striking some part of the Iran places. So these are all a symptom and a sign that whenever they sign a peace treaty, that we can expect something to happen as per the Bible scriptures. Thank you, sister. I hope your question is satisfactorily answered.
I'd like to add to that question, if I may. It's based on Ezekiel 38, verse 11. I'm sure that was the intent, where Gog and Magog come against Israel and describe them as at rest dwelling safely, dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. So I just wanted to clarify that. And of course, we can't know for sure about the details, but from what you said, I understand that this period described in verse 11 could be a very short period. Is that right?
Sure, brother. Absolutely correct.
Okay.
And
Well, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see.
Sure, sure,
but
sure.
also in that first Thessalonians, or in that chapter 5, is it 1st or 2nd Thessalonians? 1st Thessalonians 5, it says travail upon a woman. So we have to wait and see until
Sure.
the final birth pang.
Sure, sure, brother. And one more thing I want to add, brother, for your this one. In our Kannada language, Ezekiel 38, verse 8. Now, how does it come? In English, it comes, after many days, those shall be visited. But in our local language, it says, after many days, you shall be visited again and again, again and again. So what does it mean? It means that attack upon Israel won't be a one-time attack. That means it won't happen at a day, at a time. It will be time upon time, time upon time. So the magnitude of the attack, we can see it goes on increasing. And finally, it will be the collapse as is further mentioned in Ezekiel 38. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next hand is from Sister Florica Pope. Go ahead, Sister Florica.
Mulțumesc.
Thank you.
Mulțumim Domnului.
And we thank the Lord and to the brother and also to Brother Miro for inviting us from Romania. To the translators. And my question is, if the events in Psalm 83 have already passed, or will they come from now on as well? So are the events of Psalm 83 already, did they happen already or not? Thank you.
Thank you, sister. Based upon my studies, there are a lot of things to be fulfilled that are mentioned in Psalms 83. So, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, they all need to be against Israel. But as of today, if you see, the Saudis are not against you see, Israel, or neither they are against the Americans. They are quite in support with Americans. In fact, the Saudis want America to attack Iran. So it's the same concept and the same mindset of what Israel is having. So there are still many things that has to be fulfilled. So we all need to wait and see how the Lord moves, and as the event goes on, as we can see the scriptures being fulfilled, then we will be able to getting a clear picture. Thank you, sister.
Thank you. The next hand is from Sister Nastafa. Over to you.
Pacea Domnului.
May the peace of the Lord be with you. I was very happy.
Cu ajutorul Domnului ne-a izidit și ne-a întărit credința.
Helped our faith with the help of the Lord. And I want to say, like Anna, Hannah, well, she saw with her eyes the Savior, and we now see the work of the Savior who is present, who came the second time, and especially the great trouble, tribulation. I have a question. Maybe I didn't understand correctly. Is it possible that in Iran, after all these problems will pass away, There will there be somebody according to God's will, and will he give laws according to God, to God's will, or will that be in Israel? So will God put somebody according to his will to rule in Iran, or will this be in Israel? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sister. So I would like to clarify. In Jeremiah 49 chapter, it says the God shall establish his throne in Iran. So what does it mean? It doesn't mean that God has abandoned his original plan of establishing a visible kingdom in Israel. That is sure to happen. The kingdom that is visibly going to be established, it is going to be in Israel. It is going to be the capital of the entire world. But when Jeremiah 49 chapter, that verse says, God shall establish his throne in Iran, it means that when this catastrophe is going to happen, when this already the war that is going to happen, God is going to place a leader who is going to take decisions that would be indirectly, without his knowledge, fulfilling Bible prophecies. Let me give you an example. This is my understanding and this is only my suggestion. Okay. So I might be differing. That's not an issue. Everybody may have different views also. Not a problem. See, Khamenei was killed and his son was put into the place. His son is totally amputated. He can't move around. Now, who is the person who is the main leader in Iran? If you see now, it is the foreign minister. He is the one who is making the deals and agreements with America. Initially, America threatened Iran with all sorts of words, but nothing worked out because he was very confident about his power, about the things which he knew about Iran himself, which none other the powers of America knew it. He knew the limitations of America. So probably I'm telling you, probably he might be the person whom God is using to humble America, to sit down, not to just keep on dancing, not to just keep on supporting Israel. Through him, indirectly, the pressure is being put upon America just to move away from this war. Another point you see, as Americans are moving away from Iran's war, Israel is never deterring at all. Israel is not in agreement with America regarding this peace process. They have clearly made a statement. If America wants to support, they can support. If they don't support, that is not an issue at all. We will go with full-fledged war upon Hamas. That's a clear-cut statement that they are going to destroy their hideouts in Lebanon. And indirectly, Iran are supporting this terrorist organization. So hence, we can see the leader who is going to be in Iran is indirectly, without his knowledge, is fulfilling many of the prophecies in the Bible. Okay, so I hope I'm able to express it so that you can understand, sister. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Raju. That was a good clarification. And you had mentioned in this context during the talk, you alluded to Pharaoh, who was raised up on the throne of Egypt for God's purpose. So I think that helps to understand the concept. And the way you explained it is very good.
Thank you for that.
Okay. And I appreciate it also, you emphasized the necessity for the United States to be humbled. Brother Russell, he also thought that this would happen. And they have to fall. The Western world has to fall in order for the final scenes to take place. Well, okay.
Thank you, brother. I also felt
Thank
the
you.
same because this is just my thought. See, I came to the truth 25 years before. So 20 years before, when the senior brethren used to speak these things that Israel will be left all alone, it was a very difficult thing for me to grasp it. I could not see any such a situation that where Israel would be desolate. But today, when this war had suddenly taken place, it was a very clear vision we could see that Israel is being slowly desolated by all the powers of this world. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Yes, that scripture about all her lovers will forsake her. I don't know how it's worded in the translation, but we know that verse. Okay.
Thank you, brother.
Well, as I said before, it is now after midnight for Brother Raju. We want to thank you again. We thank also the Croatian Bible students for making this meeting possible. And special thanks to the translators. I know that's not an easy job, and we really appreciate that. And of course, thanks to everyone who attended here today. May the Lord bless and keep you. We already closed with prayer, so, and we all already had our closing hymn. So with this, we will end this meeting, and the Lord be with you and keep you all.
Thank you,
Amen.
Dear brethren. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Thank you, everybody, for the opportunity. Thank you. Lord bless. Convey our regards to all the brethren, sisters all over the world. Lord bless. Greetings.
Thank you.
Bye, Brother Alan, brother. Bye. Good night.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sleep
Brother
well.
Bino. Goodbye. God bless. Thank you.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Brother Raju. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, brother.
Bye, sister. Bye. God bless, everybody. Bye, brothers, sisters.